Hey friends, it's Simon Hurley.
And Rena Kay.
And welcome back to the Stamp With Us podcast. This is the third episode and we are so excited for today's interview. We're going to be interviewing Christopher Allen from the awesome Brutus Monroe, which is the company that he started. And he's got tons of fun and interesting stories to share with you all.
And he's such a funny guy.
He really is.
A lot of good jokes, a lot of laughs throughout this interview.
So we are going to hop on the phone with him and we hope you enjoy the interview.
I hate that I can't see what's happening.
All right, so we are on the phone with our awesome guest, Christopher Allen. We are so excited to sit down and chat with him here. He has been a really big role in our industry and has a really awesome product line called Brutus Monroe. And we're going to chat a little bit more about how he got started in the industry and ask him a couple questions about his awesome product line as well. So Christopher, thank you so much for joining us. How have you been?
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss it for the world. I've been great. How have you guys been?
We are doing great. We are so excited to kind of sit down and chat today and get a little bit more into this.
Very happy we got our technical issues solved out.
All right, so how did you get started in the crafting industry? This is just a question that I think everybody loves to know. So how did your journey happen that you got into this industry?
Your origin story, if you will.
Yes, my origin story. So it's not a very glamorous one. I can tell you that it's through a lot of perseverance and really just not being educated on the industry. I watched a video one night. I wanted to make a card, and I searched for making a card, as most of us have at the beginning, and I found Miss Christina Warner, and I watched probably, oh goodness, I think I had a birthday while I was watching her videos because I couldn't stop. I was just so intrigued by how she did things and these tools and the stuff that she had. So it was very late at night, so I went to a big box store that is not really known for their crafts, but I went and I picked up a couple of stamps and a couple of inks, and I went home, and unfortunately my project didn't look like Christina Warner. So I, you know, knew that something was wrong, and the inks weren't great. I mean, I should have known. I paid a dollar for them. And the stamps weren't that great either. So not knowing that this industry had already flourished, and 6 years ago there weren't a ton of stamp companies. I mean, there were some big ones, but there weren't nearly as many as we have today. So me not knowing that, I'm like, I'm going to change the industry. I'm going to make stamps, and I'm going to do inks. And I'm not knowing that these things had already existed. But I started my journey there, and I quit my big boy job, as I called it, and spent quite a bit of money on my first stamp set to launch, and just hoped and prayed that it would work, and luckily it did, and here we are now, 2,000 products later.
That's
You're
so
here
awesome.
On our podcast, struggling through technical issues with us.
I think that's.
I love it. Listen, I was so excited about being on here. As soon as you guys launched it, I was like, please let the mask leak, because I didn't want to bet.
That's so awesome. And I think it's really cool. I actually started like right around the same time that you did. And I like got in touch with you kind of right at the beginning there. I still remember your first stamp set. I'm going to put it up on screen if I can. Is that still available?
Awesome. It is no longer available. It is, we're going to probably be bringing it back here for our fifth anniversary that we're celebrating in December. But it was one that I did have to retire, and I actually hopefully will be able at some time to have you guys come out to our retail location, but I actually have the negative framed on the wall of the studio store because I knew that if I let them keep the negative for the way they make the stamps, that I would want to have it made for the rest of my life. So I said, it's time to retire it. It was the first one, so I had them send me the mold for it, and it's actually hung up in the store now.
Oh, that's
so
cute.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's really cute.
That really is cool. And it was a super versatile set, too. I think that's what kind of carried you, like, throughout the industry, is having that, like, first set. It was a small one, but it was, like, super versatile. I think it was that thank you where you can kind of interchange those images, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was called Many Things. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Many Things.
That's really cool. And I remember using that one a ton. I was actually on your design team when I was really little, and we kind of both grew together, which was really cool as well.
Yes. I remember seeing you creating stuff, and I think it was at that time, I think it was more of a blog that you were doing. But I saw so much of me in you, and, you know, that's what I was, and I've told you many a times, you know, in conversations that we've had that, you know, it was just so cool to see you grow and see you flourish, because when I was your age, I was doing the same things, but so unfortunately awesome. Didn't have the opportunities that you have been afforded now, because it wasn't, the stamping industry wasn't a big thing when I was your age, mm-hmm. when you first started.
Yeah, definitely.
It was, we had rubber stamps, and the only people really using stamps were teachers, so it's a much, much different world now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of really changed and flourished, I think, with the clear stamps and all the awesome companies that are out now.
Well, I'm glad you two have such a tight bond. Christopher, I think you and I have talked the most standing outside at stamping events talking about how our feet hurt. But
100%, yes. And I obviously was instantly drawn to the offspring of my Gina K. So we have flourished in our relationship in that same way.
Oh, man. Yeah, Christopher is always the person I look to at stamping events, and you always just know exactly what I'm thinking. We can, read each other's minds and stuff, I swear. It's so much fun.
It's very true. Mm-hmm. Yes, very, very true.
Well, on the subject of your feet, this is the weirdest segue in the entire world.
But a good one.
But good a good one. One. I heard
very good one.
A little birdie told me that you have a massive shoe collection.
I do. I have a very, very massive shoe collection of Chuck Taylors. They are my absolute, absolute favorite shoe. And I won't tell you how many pairs I have, but I'll tell you that we just built a closet for them.
Oh, so
that's your answer. I need to refacilitate
I'll have
them.
I'll send you guys a picture of that closet so that you can... So you can kind of interject it here.
Yes.
In the podcast.
Look at that.
Look at that awesome closet. And it's always fun to, when you go to events, to see the shoes that you're wearing, because there's always a new one for each outfit. I think it's hilarious and really cool too.
Oh, yes. I had to get a very special pair for our most recent event. We have the Create Your Own Ending event. It was just a couple of months ago, and I knew I couldn't just wear any pair, so I had a pair commissioned that were, the soles were completely covered in Swarovski crystals. So those ones are now in the store in a glass case.
Oh, my gosh.
They will never be worn again.
That's amazing.
So those are bougie.
Oh, they're my favorite. But the thing is, I knew that everyone was going to be thinking, well, what Chuck Taylors is he going to be wearing? I mean, he has every color in the rainbow. So I said, well, let me keep them guessing. And I had them commissioned. It took about 2 months for them to complete them, but they are my favorite pair.
My favorite pair, too. I haven't even seen them. Oh, that's so cool.
That's really awesome. And I think it's so cool that you have, that huge collection and they are able to do some fun things like that with your different shoes that you wear for each event.
Do you think of them as names of ink pads or names of markers? Because when I look at
100%.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that's very odd, that's a little known fact about Chuck Taylor, is they don't give them specific color codes or anything like that. Like, they give them a name, but there's no way to know what the color name is once you already have the Chuck Taylor. So they give them a name when you order them, but there's no defining or definitive name on the shoe. So what's fun about that is once I get them, I can kind of remember what the name is, but I like to give them different color names because, whenever they say, burgundy or something like that, I have quite a few that are different shades of burgundy, but I like to give them different names so it makes more sense to me.
Probably helps you come up with new colors and stuff, mm-hmm. and new products.
It does, yes. Yes.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about Brutus Monroe as well. You guys have a very distinct and really awesome style over there. How would you, I get this question a lot too, and it's kind of a difficult one, but how would you describe your style in a couple of words or a couple of sentences, kind of describing the look and feel of your brand?
Oh, absolutely. So Brutus Monroe was a concept name that was actually named after my miniature pincher, who passed away about 11 months ago now. But don't worry, his name will live on forever every time someone answers the phone here at the
forever.
Store, or anytime anybody wears a shirt, that's kind of why I named it that, because he would never truly be gone. But I like the style of Brutus Monroe, because when I started in the industry, there was a lot of what you would consider for then very masculine stamps and also very feminine stamps. And you could tell, what were the more feminine designs and what were the more masculine designs. And, now in almost the year 2020, we don't have those definitive guidelines anymore. You know, anything could be masculine and anything could be feminine. So I wanted to create a brand that mixed the two really, really well. And the name Brutus Monroe, which was, you know, my dog's name long before I thought of creating a company, was what encompassed that. I mean, Brutus is probably the most masculine name that I can think of, and Monroe, the latter, the most feminine name. So by putting Brutus Monroe together, I was able to create a style that was super masculine and also super feminine, and really just what was in between, what that undefinitive line of, you know, masculine and feminine is, and just something that was cool and edgy and different. And I think by naming it Brutus Monroe and not naming it after myself, I could also do a lot more, because it didn't always represent just me. Mm-hmm. It represented everything. So that's I think something that was really cool about how Brutus Monroe came to be.
That is really cool. That's awesome. I didn't even think about that, how nice it flowed, because when I hear Monroe, I immediately think of like Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And like the big red lips and the mole and everything, and then Brutus.
So when I think of Brutus, I think of like you know, like Caesar and you know, like war and things like that. So it's fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's a really good idea.
Cool to hear. And I think that I always knew that it was your dog was the first one, but I never knew that it was Brutus Monroe, because you were kind of incorporating both of those. And I think you, like you said, you did a really good job of that. There's always like, there's been wrenches in our industry, and then there's been like really like floral images and nothing really in between there. And so your brand kind of really brings that cool in between that you can use, whether you're a guy or you're a girl, or, you know, giving it to different people, which is really awesome.
I wanted everyone to be able to use our stamps, and not just, you know, gender specific, so to speak, but I mean, young and old, and, you know, I didn't want anyone to look at our stamps and be like, oh, what? Oh, that's really different. And, you know, I have pushed the envelope quite a bit in this industry, but I'm not going to stop that anytime soon.
It's always funny, because my mom always talks about, like, making masculine cards, and she's like, what's the most masculine flower? Because she has a ton of flowers in her inventory, and
I like that.
That's just funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really cool, though, that it's that name. It just flows so well, both two syllables each. Like, very easy to remember.
Yeah, and I don't know. Everyone always, that's the first thing. Well, first they ask if my name is Brutus Monroe, and then once we get over that, they're very confused at how it came to be, because it almost sounds like a clothing brand. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Brutus Monroe sounds like it should. It's a brand of some sort, but you don't know what brand it is. And I think that, you know, Epidemic's kind of, you know, thought process behind, well, what is Brutus Monroe? And I think as long as someone is always asking a question about your brand will live on forever.
That name could be like the name of those Swarovski Chuck Taylors you were wearing. That could be the name of that.
You may see something coming from Brutus Monroe and Converse in the future. So just keep your eye peeled.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. Well, I wanted to talk to you too, because you said that Brutus passed away, and I'm really sorry to hear that. But I also heard that you got a new little one named. Can you tell us a little bit more about her?
Yes, we do have a new little one, and her name is Minnie Monroe. So she is a new miniature pincher. I just got her in June, and she is a lunatic. She is but the best lunatic that I've ever met, and she came at just the right time, because I was preparing to expand the Brutus Monroe brand, and we actually took over the building next door to us at the store, and it was going to be our studio space where we would do classes and we would do birthday parties for kids and kids' classes and stuff, and I had no idea what to call it, and it was a miniature version of the Brutus Monroe space, so Mini Monroe just made sense, so we called it the Mini Monroe Studio, and now we also have Mini Monroe, the miniature picture, so she's definitely taken on the legacy I'm Brutus Monroe, and I always say, you know, who doesn't love a female CEO? And she's it, so we're rocking right
women
along.
Women representation.
Definitely, that's awesome. She's the new CEO, she's taken over.
Yeah.
She is the K-9 executive officer, and she knows it.
That's awesome.
I would talk to Christopher at stamping events, because I usually bring my little dog, Mishi, who is a lunatic in his own way, too. And I asked him, we were at Junkie Fest, and I was like, where's your new dog? And he was like, where she belongs, at home. he looked so stressed.
Where she was content, where she could be, you know, put into a little kennel when she starts getting crazy. She's gotten a lot better now. She's 7, but she's a puppy, and, you know, I hadn't had a puppy, and our other dog is 7, so I hadn't had a puppy in 7 years, and you kind of forget what it's like to have a puppy until you have a puppy again.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's 3 a.m., where are all my socks? Yeah. I'm so stressed.
Where is everything?
Yeah.
Like, not just their socks, like, they will take anything, and it's like things that you would never, ever imagine. And she's a hoarder, so she, like, miniature pinchers are bred to actually, like, go and gather rodents and, you know, go, they hide in hay on farms, and they go and kill all the rodents on the farm. So she'll steal the most random things, and she'll, like, the other day she came downstairs and she had my Apple Watch in her mouth, and I said, what are you even doing? I told you what time I'll be home, but you don't need to check.
Yeah.
she takes everything, and she's getting a lot better, but it's now become a game to her of what she can steal and how quickly she can run into the other room with it. So it's getting better though.
Yeah, puppies are difficult. I Mishi, I don't know what Pomeranians were bred for, but it definitely wasn't anything like helpful. They're probably bred to steal stuff and hide it from you. But he has this little like pack rat den under my bed that has like plastic bags and lotions that I haven't found, and just my hopes and dreams. Anything he can take away from me is underneath there, and I just like look under there and I'm like, well, I guess he can have it now. I'm not going to go under the bed to clean it out.
All right, so you talked a little bit about your studio store, which I think is so cool that you have your own space to kind of work in and hold events and things like that. Can you tell us a little bit more of where you're located and kind of what you do in your store, so that in case if anybody is around that area or kind of wants to come visit you, so they can know kind of what to expect and what they're going to get there?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are located in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We are right kind of like literally like probably about 5 minutes outside of the city. I always say you're close enough to the city that you can hop down real quick and go to an event, but you're far enough away that you don't have to deal with the traffic, which is what's really nice about the area that we're in. But yeah, we moved into this space about a year ago. It was a year ago in June, and it's a 12,000 square foot building where we do all of our fulfillment. We also have our store space and where we do manufacturing. So it has become very quickly the store that I never wanted. My aspiration was never to have a store. It was always to just have, you know, the online portion and the portion that was like the, you know, the distribution and things like that. But very quickly, as my YouTube channel grew, and, you know, as people learned who the person was behind Brutus Monroe, I realized that a store location would make sense because I wanted to meet everybody. Mm-hmm. I love meeting the people that I speak with on the lives and, you know, who comments on my videos and things like that. It's a lot of fun. So the only way to really do that without giving the address to my house was to create a space, you know, where we could all hang out. And Brutus Monroe is that. It's a very vintage, very funky building. It used to be a post office, and we actually still have the post office facade behind the cash wrap area, and it's just very Brutus Monroe. It was exactly what I pictured the Brutus Monroe retail store to be, and I'm excited that it was that. We had a woman come in the other day that said that it's the Anthropology of craft stores, and that's really the best way I can describe it.
That's
it
really so cool.
Is the Anthropology of craft stores. Yeah.
It's awesome. I think you do such a good job you were like meant to have a store because you do such a good job at like getting the new window displays in at different seasons, and you really have a cool place, not just for supplies, but, you know, that's a really awesome, like an anthropology of a craft store. It's really cool.
Yeah, I am obsessed with those windows. Macy's has nothing on me. And my mom always says that I always wanted to be a Macy's window decorator when I was little. And she said that, you know, Macy's, the only Macy's that does that now is the one in New York. The, you know, the ones around the world don't. She said, so I created my own Macy's windows. And I love doing it every single holiday. We're getting ready to transition to Christmas soon, and I'll have to send you guys pictures because we have 16 trees that we're building next week.
That is too many trees.
Not when you have 52-foot windows. That's just
true. Yeah, that might be more on the side of not enough trees. But that's great that you made your own Macy's, and it's not even Macy's. Mm-hmm. You have two names in there, Brutus Monroe.
Was there any point in kind of creating your store or building it or renovating it that you like just wanted to stop it and like had? Was there any like stories that you have of any struggles that you had while you were kind of creating that store of your dreams?
Oh, every single day. I mean, if someone tells you that they did not struggle whenever they were building their brand or growing their business, then they're either lying to you or they're not working hard enough. And, you know, I always say, and this is kind of a preface to, you know, building the store and the brand and things like that, that if you run your business or you run your brand like every day is the last day you're going to be in business, then you can never fail. Mm-hmm. And for me, that resonates with, you know, the building the brand and building the store and things like that, because I can tell you every single day, I was like, oh, Christopher, what are you doing? I mean, every single step was, you know, was fear. And I started the brand literally with one stamp set. And I thought that after about 3 weeks, I'd be selling that stamp set down by the river, you know, to people for a nickel. Like, I literally, and still to this day, every time we have a new release or every time we create a new product or we manufacture something, I'm always like, oh, is this it? Like, is this the product that's going to do us in? Is this the last product that we're going to do? And I think that still knowing in the back of your mind that you have, you know, the customers that love your products and love your brand, but still having in the back of your mind that, you know, you have to keep working hard and you have to keep creating new things and always doing something different. That was the thing that was terrifying. And I still, every day, I mean, I stand in this building that I never ever thought we would have. And I still am like, oh, well, all right, it's been a good ride. And, you know, when they come take the store, I have to make sure I hold on to the things that I love. But I think that's a natural fear. It's a natural fear to, when you get everything that you've ever dreamed of, you're always going to have that fear in the back of your mind that it could be taken away. And I think that as long as you keep that tiny little bit of fear that, you know, it could be gone in a second, again, you really can't fail. And that's what Brutus Monroe is to me. That it's the fear of, you know, not having everything that I always wanted, and that keeps me going every day.
Definitely. I think you're so right on that point where it's like once you start becoming too comfortable with your line, then you're not doing, you know, you're not doing it right, because even when I have a new release too, it's like, you know, even when you're trying something new or anything, you know that people are going to like it, but there's always that little fear in the back of your mind like, oh no, we're going to have a million of these in the warehouse afterwards. You know,
going to have a bed made of my own stamp sets.
What do I do? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can't, you can't melt down photopolymer. It's done. So, you know, same thing with rubber. It stays the way it is. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, we are in a very permanent industry. We are in an industry where we are creating a finished good that is that finished good forever. You know, we're not in an industry where things can be reinvented all the time. I mean, obviously we do have some things that can be reinvented and, you know, done different ways, but we are in a very, you know, it's done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's hope everyone loves it. And luckily, you know, for the two of you, many have, and I am one of the biggest fans of your lines as well.
Well, thank you very much. We are a huge fan of your line as well. I really think that what you create really brings a lot to the industry, and you have done such a good job at, you know, just kind of reinventing the wheel, like you're saying. You really come out with some really awesome stuff.
I don't sleep.
Motto of Brutus Monroe.
I had to schedule a sneeze the other day, so you'll understand.
So what is one product that kind of helped define your brand? Because we keep talking about kind of coming out with new things, and I think you've done a really great job at that. What was one product kind of in the growth of your brand that might have been an afterthought, but you might have just kind of helped your growth, or people really caught on with that for your line?
Oh, absolutely. That I definitely think that was our embossing powder. Mm-hmm. Our embossing powders, we started with three different embossing powders, and when we were originally getting them manufactured, I wasn't 100% happy with them. I wasn't happy with, you know, the coarseness and the coloration and things like that. And I can be kind of a pain in the butt sometimes when it comes to our manufacturing process because I'm kind of a little cuckoo when it comes to making sure things are perfect. So we found a manufacturer that actually makes it for the bridal industry. They actually, if you get a real fancy wedding card, the raised print on it is actually what we use as embossing powder. But where we get it from, they used it in a machine. So they couldn't put any type of different additives and things like that in it because it would gum up the machine. At least that was my understanding from the manufacturer. So we found one, and then we found two, and now we have 162 colors of embossing powders, if you can believe it, because we now mix them in-house. So we order 500 pounds worth of the base, which is like a clear base or a white base, and we use cosmetic-grade micas and pigments and all sorts of different things to bibbidi-bobbidi-loop the different colors that we have of the embossing powders. But I think that that would be one thing that definitively set us apart, because once we started manufacturing them and we started figuring out how they worked, and I like to be a little bit of a mad scientist, so to speak, when it comes to products. I like to really break them down and figure out how they work and what we can do to make them better. And embossing powders definitely put us on the map, that's for sure.
I just pictured you, like, in the back of your warehouse with, like, crazy hair and, like, Chuck Taylor's, like, mixing powders and it, like, exploding in your face.
100%. Think of the Muppets with Beaker. That's exactly what it's like here every day. It's literally a magic. I wish that I could show you. Unfortunately, there's a lot of secrets that I can't show, but we do have, in our back warehouse area, we have just that exact. If you can imagine, you know, bottles and pigments and scoopers and all sorts of different things, it's a beautiful mad scientist chamber because it has every color you could ever imagine in the rainbow. And, you know, different testing tubes and things like that, because when we manufacture something, we have to test it before we bring it to the consumer. So, like when we did aqua pigments, for 6 months they had to sit in a test tube and we had to watch them and make sure that they didn't change and the formulation didn't change. And we did the same thing when we started manufacturing our glue. We let it sit in a freezer for 3 weeks and then took it out and let it thaw to see if it would be able to take the temperature on. If it froze, like if we sent it to Alaska, is it going to be okay if it's outside for a couple of days? So we really do. It's literally like a mad scientist here testing things out.
Oh, that sounds so fun. Yeah. I'll have to come tour it at some point.
Definitely.
And play
we
with
need
all
to come.
Of them.
Yes.
And I think it's really awesome that you're still so involved in your brand, even though you've grown a ton. Because I think that sometimes when people really grow a lot, they just start ordering things from here or there. But I love to hear that you're still in the back of your warehouse, kind of mixing things and making sure everything's still great quality. I think that's really awesome.
100%. I take out the garbage every day. Every day.
Yes.
And, you know, I will always be 100% with that. I said that once I don't know my employees' names is when I should stop doing this. Mm-hmm. So I always want to make sure that we are exactly where we're supposed to be. And growth is hard. It's mm-hmm. You don't know. It happens very quickly, and you see this now. You know, as your brand is growing and Rena as well, it happens very quickly for most. And it's fun though. I mean, you just got to kind of grab on. And just
hold on for dear life.
Yeah. Through all the waves.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that most of your stuff's made in-house now, too. That was one of the big things for me, is making sure that most of the products are made in the United States for my line. And I think that's really awesome that you're doing that, too, to provide jobs and to really make sure that quality is there as well.
100%. It was the big thing that we started in 2019, and it was a big, big spend for us. We, I believe in investing a ton back in business, and that was a big thing for us in 2019, was figuring out how we could start manufacturing things in-house, and was it a year trying to figure out how to do it. But luckily I hired a couple of extra awesome, awesome team members that had a background in that, and again, we just started bibbidi-bobbidi-boop and all sorts of stuff, but now here we are.
That's so awesome. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you talked a little bit about what you do, kind of emptying the trash out every day, but what does a typical day in your life look like?
Well, first of all, nothing's ever typical, so we'll begin there. It's It never is a normal day around here, but I start my day every day around 5 a.m., sometimes quarter till 5, and I get up, and my number one rule is I do not touch my phone until I get a shower, I take a walk, and I eat my breakfast. That is my number one rule, and I would hope, and if no one listens to anything else on this podcast, please listen to that. Every day, I believe that everyone should separate themselves from what is social media and email and things of that nature, because really that can define your day, right? I mean, if you look at your phone and you have a bad email, or you have, you know, a rude message or whatever that may be, that can absolutely define your day. So I always start my day with a walk, a shower, and then my breakfast, and then I'll start checking my email. I go into the office every single day, or come into the office every single day, which I think surprises a lot of the customers that come into the store that I'm always here. I rarely, if ever, work from home. It's really hard for me to work from home because the creativity is my incredible employees and our amazing partners in creativity, which is what we call our customers. I need that. I thrive when I have different things around me and different people giving me ideas and tweaking things and stuff like that. So my typical day is really just being here at the store. I go through, we have design meetings, we have the subscription meetings, because we have 8 subscription products now. So we sit down every day and we go through where the progress is with that. We also have design meetings. We have production meetings, because we now have lasers here at Brutus Monroe. So we have 2 production managers that do all of our laser cutting and stencils and things like that. So my day is majoritively meetings, which isn't that fun. Majority of the day is taken up with meeting with folks and going over, which I would, you know, rather be designing all day, but it's, unfortunately, you don't get to design all day every day. So, and then my evening ends usually around 12 to 2 in the morning, whenever I'm done with my lives, and I go on and answer the last emails for the day. So it's usually a long day, but when you love what you do, you don't feel like you ever work, and that's truly what I do every day.
That's really cool.
So for someone that is currently in a math class, going to bed at 2 a.m. and waking up at 5 equals not a lot of sleep. That's crazy.
No. I try to sleep on the weekends. That's usually my when I catch up on sleep. It's hard because when your mind, and both of you know this, you are both very creative people, it's hard to shut off your mind sometimes. And it's hard to stop thinking of ideas, and it's hard to stop, when I sleep, I will oftentimes wake up and I have a notebook next to my bed and I'll jot things down, and it's almost like I sleep design. Like I wake up, I write something down, go back to bed, and then the next morning I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm a genius, because I forgot that I did it. So I'll wake up and I'll see this note and I get excited that I sleep designed something, and that's really truly not a lot of sleep. You are right. Now that I've said it out loud, I'm probably going to take a nap after this. But it's not much sleep. But when I retire, I'll sleep. But I don't even know when that will be.
That's so cool. You should make a line of products called Sleep Designs, which is just everything you come up with in your sleep.
I mean, that might be our primary. I would too, yeah. I've just been invented right now.
That's awesome. And that's so funny, too, because I do the same thing. I'll wake up and I'll either put it in like a voice memo or my notes, and then I'll look at it and I'll be like, that was pretty cool. That's a good idea.
Uh-huh. It's the best. It's sleep designing. I like it. Let's write that down.
Let's do it.
I'm trying to think of when I get my ideas. I don't really have ideas. I feel like I just like accidentally make something, like, or it'll just hit me when I'm like walking Mishi,
like,
and like cleaning
pattern.
Up after. Yeah, like that was a mistake. All of mine are just mistakes, I feel like, and then they end up being okay.
But some of the greatest designs are mistakes. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
That's my motto.
You know, some of the greatest designs I've ever seen are when you weren't even meaning to design, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you see things that are out there in the world that you're like, wait a second. Like, for instance, the other day I opened up a freezer at my friend's aunt's house, and it was a freezer, I think, from like 1960 62. And I opened up the freezer, and on the inside of the freezer, there was a pat, and it was like this. I don't know. It was like different. It was supposed to look like frost or like snowflakes. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh, my goodness, that would be a fantastic stamp. So it was like, it was just something so accidental that I opened up the freezer. I mean, I didn't design that, but it gave me an idea for a really cool stamp. And, I mean, I would call that kind of accidental. That'll design me.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's so smart.
And I think it's really funny because I do the same thing. I'll walk around with my phone and, like, I'll just be hanging out with my friends in, like, Target. And I'll walk around and I'll go up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'll either go up to somebody's, like, shirt pattern, like, really close, or I'll go up to, like, a product that's on the shelf and I'll take a picture and they're all like, there goes Simon getting his stamp designs again.
Just trying to get toilet paper at Target. Like,
I know. It's so true. I have a stencil that I just released 2 months ago that was actually the carpet at a hotel in New York City.
And, that's cool.
It was funny because I didn't think of it as a stencil, but I took a picture and put it on Instagram, and everyone was like, that'd be a great stencil. I said, no, you're right. And now it's a stencil, and it was literally carpeting at a hotel that I stayed at.
That's hilarious.
I usually spend most of my time trying to avoid looking at the carpet at hotels.
Yeah, like, that's
not
gross.
Thinking about it as much as possible.
I had just purchased my very first pair of leather Chuck Taylors, and I took a picture of the Chuck Taylors, and that's where the scene the carpet came to be. Oh, and I wanted them to look at the Chuck Taylors, not the carpet. And all they kept saying was, "That'd be a great stencil."
Yeah,
and
you're like.
Focus on me.
Focus on my Chuck Taylors.
Yeah. Look at these Chuck Taylors that are leather that have never existed before, and you're worried about the carpet.
It's so funny, too, because you're right. It's not even the ones who designed the stamps and stuff like that. It's like, just as a crafter, like, I was teaching a class in New Jersey the other day, and we're all kind of in hotel rooms next to each other, and somebody walked out of the room, and they go, I was just looking at the painting in the bathroom, and I think that would be a good background stamp. And it's just funny, like, that everybody is kind of thinking of that same stuff, and that we get to take those ideas and change them up a little bit and make them into our line, which is really awesome.
Yeah, at Junkie Fest, the hotel beds, they had this, like, weird design on the back of all the beds, and someone was like, is anybody going to make a stencil out of the back of the beds? And, like, a ton of people agreed.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Like, three people already had them.
Oh,
oh my gosh. That's
like,
hilarious.
Oh, we already have a stencil that looks like that.
Would you mind maybe giving a little bit of a sneak peek of something that you have coming soon? You totally don't have to, but...
If not, you can hang up the phone and never talk to us again.
No, I can tell you that I do have a full line of tools that are launching in about 2 months.
Ooh.
So awesome. We have not just tools in the respect of like a paper trimmer and things like that. I have a whole line of markers coming, and you guys are the first ones that, other than my staff and close friends and family, that know that this marker collection is coming. So all of your listeners and viewers are the first ones to know that we have a whole marker collection that is set to debut in about a month and a half. And we have
cool.
62 markers coming under
the
Monroe Artist Collection. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's something that I've always wanted to tackle. And it's cool. You know, I like a challenge, and markers were definitely that. So I'm really excited to be launching those.
I think it's so funny because I remember the days where you first started the line and you were on Periscope every night. We were live streaming, which it used to be a really big live streaming app. And right when you first kind of started the company, you were all by yourself, and people would just keep texting you on the live stream and kind of keep trying to get stuff out of you, and you would share little sneak peeks here and there. So it's cool that you got to do that today, too, now that even though things are a little bit more contained and under wraps,
honored that we're one of the only ones that know. Yeah. I guess we're close friends now, huh?
Yeah. Well, I always say that I'm really good at keeping your secrets, but not my own. I'm terrible at keeping Brutus Monroe secrets, and I think it's just because I get so excited, and I'm sure that both of you, you know, have had that excitement when you're getting ready to launch something or you have a new line of products coming, and for me it was, you know, the dreams that were coming true, and it was, you know, the licensing deals and things like that. My biggest secret ever that was the most difficult secret to ever keep was when I had my licensing deal with Decafoil and Thermoweb, which your mama has as well.
She does.
And that was the most difficult secret and the longest secret that I had ever kept, because when I was, my goodness, probably only probably 6 or 7 years ago, I was at Michael's buying Deco Foil, and I was
That's so awesome.
Goodness, this is the coolest stuff. This is so neat. This is something that's so different. You can do so many cool things with it. And it was just so crazy to think now I have Deco Foil. And
so cool.
It's, you know, if anybody ever thinks that they can't do something, and anybody ever thinks that something is impossible, just remember that I was buying the same thing with my name on it 6 years ago. And It's anything is possible. You just have to really, really work hard and want to do it. And that's the thing that's so exciting about this industry is we get to create things every day. And it's not just products. It's the finished, you know, project after that product is created. So there's never a dull moment in the creative industry, that's for sure.
Definitely. I think it makes me so happy that you said that, because anybody out there can really, if you put your mind to it, you can really accomplish anything. I remember I had, there's still these little like family videos that we might have to leak on the internet or sometime, of me working with Rangers products when I was 11. And that was one of the biggest secrets I had to keep, too, was that licensing deal with Ranger now, which is so exciting.
I mean, I've been working with Gina K products since the day it came out, so.
We'll have to leak those videos, too.
Had a kind of a direct connection, if I could say. But that's so funny because
you
I'm very close with the manufacturer.
you were birthed, so yeah. You definitely. Are the winner of the very first licensing deal.
It's so cool with the Deco Foil, though, because Deco Foil is what actually got me back into stamping. I thought it was still just like coloring and wood blocks and all that stuff, which is all great, but it's just what I was used to from when I was little. Mm-hmm. And then my mom was like, oh no, stamping has changed a lot, Rena. And I was like, oh really? And she's like, let me show you this. And she shoved that foil through the laminator, and I was instantly hooked. I was like, this is so pretty and professional and shiny, and oh my gosh, I just need
it
all.
My mom was doing it before it was even like a thing, and that's when I first bought Deco Foil, was because I was watching, because before you and your mom and I ever connected, I was watching her, you know, on the original Stamp TV, and you know, I can remember her doing foiling, and I was like, wait a second, this is like in the fabric section, this isn't something that paper crafters use. But as all good things, paper crafters take them, and we take them for ourselves, and we figure out how we can use them.
And we make them
and,
better.
You know, she was creating these magnificent Deco Foil cards before she had the licensing with Deco Foil, and it was just so cool. I was so excited when they announced her partnership, not knowing that, you know, a year later that I would be able to work with Deco Foil, and it's just so cool. It's just so weird. It's still so surreal to me that all of these opportunities have come to fruition, but I wouldn't trade them for the world.
Oh, that's so cool.
Sweet. That was a good ending.
Seriously, that was great.
Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for joining us, Christopher. We had a great time chatting with you and learning a little bit more about you with our viewers on here. I know that you have a YouTube channel, and Christopher does daily videos, or I think tries to do daily videos every night, live streams.
Yes.
He's really close to his customers, and you can join. So I'll leave links down below to his YouTube channel where he does that, and where you can shop his awesome products. And if there's anything else that you want to plug, you can do that right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. I'm just so excited that I was able to chat with everybody today, and I was so excited that I was able to chat with you guys. I feel like we like just sat down and had lunch and just had a conversation. So it was, you guys make it very easy to have a conversation, and it was fun. I mean, I felt like we were just chatting, and I hope that everyone out there learns a little bit more about Brutus and Rel and a little bit more about me, and I hope that everyone just keeps on creating, because that's what we're here for.
Well, that's so great. Well, make sure you guys check out all of Christopher's social media and different sites, and stay tuned because he has those markers coming out, and
which
you don't
so
want to
exciting.
Miss that. I'm going to be on my computer every day waiting for it. That sounds so much fun.
I'm sure I can figure out someone to send you guys a set. Keep your fingers crossed. I'll see if I'll let me.
We'll see if Minnie Monroe will let you pass them on to us.
Yeah, you have to consult with the rest of the company.
She approves that she's she's a stickler because she knows any free piece that go off means a little bit less kibble. So she gets real anxious about that.
Thank you guys so much for watching and listening to today's podcast. We really hope you enjoyed the interview and getting to know Christopher Allen a little bit more.
We've been fangirling over him for so long, and to hear his voice and hear about his experience in the stamping industry was just so amazing. And we hope you guys enjoyed that as much as we did.
Definitely. So be sure to give his social media links a check out down below in the description or in the show notes. And we'll see you guys very soon for another episode of the podcast. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Okay, we'll say it together.
Yeah. Okay, ready, set, go.
Have a great day.
Bye. Oh, we're saying have a... Okay.